Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on,
let it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
He's been described as Britain's seminal screen hard nut and the East End's answer to George Clooney, and he's been smashing it since the 70s. He now stars in the new Netflix series, The Gentleman, which drops later today. So please welcome a man who's a win-win, and a Ray Winston!
Good morning, Ray!
Good morning, Chris.
How are you, my friend?
I'm still getting over looking like George Clooney.
Yeah, well, you're super cool. You've never looked better, by the way.
I feel great at the moment. You look good yourself.
Yeah, we're doing all right, aren't we?
Yeah, we're all right.
I think we've got to that point where we realise we really need to put in some maintenance.
Wind your neck in time,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
It
was wind your neck in time, yeah.
You know, there was burning the candle at one end, yep. Then there's burning the candle at both ends, then there was nothing in between.
Yeah.
But we gave it a good go.
Do you know, I realised that we kind of come through this game together, haven't we, in a
yep.
way? You know, through the mad years and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
Now here we are now. You know, I haven't had a drink for 4 weeks.
Congratulations.
You know, I'm not that I'm never going to drink again.
Yeah.
Just looking after yourself.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You know, and look at you. You look as fit as a butcher's dog. And, you know, we feel good, don't we?
I feel great, man.
I never felt better in my life,
I feel the best I've ever felt. We,
yeah.
Tash and I haven't had a drink for 9 months and 5 days.
Not that you're counting, like.
No, we are. I am definitely counting. And I'm, brick by brick, that yeah. wall is going up. And
yeah.
again, never say never.
Yeah.
No judgment.
Yeah.
We left nothing on the pitch.
Yeah, but nothing at all. No.
Yeah. Did we ever play football?
I did. I don't know whether we, what
I
you've done.
For
you
the
can
Arsenal,
call football.
Yeah. Select team for about 5 years on a Sunday.
Oh, right.
Played at Wembley a few
we
times.
We probably played against you, actually.
I played a West Ham game with Sir Trevor Brooking.
Right.
Captaining you. I was against... You may have played in that.
Yeah, I probably did. I think we got beat 4-1 and I scored a wonder goal.
This is great that we can't remember.
No,
for sure? Yes! Ray, 50 years in showbiz this year?
Yeah, so I found out, yeah.
Control room round of applause, please. Like, extended, OK? The guy's a legend.
Oh, God bless you.
Half a century.
Half a century.
Beautiful. And what a way to celebrate this programme, The Gentleman. So The Gentleman, of course, is a movie created by Guy Ritchie. And this TV show, the TV show of the franchise, is out today on Netflix. I watched the first two episodes last night. My God. that's my reaction. What's yours?
Well, I've only seen the first episode and I'm not in it, which is probably a good thing, right? But it's a Guy Ritchie film. It's Guy Ritchie. So
yeah.
You know what you're going to get. But because it's over 8 episodes,
yep.
You get a chance to create and get into the characters a little bit more. But the chicken scene at the end is probably one of the best scenes I've seen in a movie or a programme for many, many, many years. You know, it's fantastic.
Right, so it's called The Gentleman. It's, if you've seen the film, you'll know the sort of the flavour, and it is very much that, 2.0, 3.0, 1000X, whatever you like. I don't know why I like it. I don't know if I'm supposed to like it.
Yeah.
You know, and it gets you thinking about other movies. Where are the lessons in the movies? It's not going to help me rewrite my moral code. It's not going to improve my value system.
No.
But I literally couldn't take my eyes off it. And I said to Tash, my wife, last night, because we don't watch things late because I've got to go to bed at like 3 o'clock,
yeah.
Silly early o'clock.
Yeah, sure.
And I said, babe, I'm going to watch the second episode. She said, you never do that. I said, I know. And she was sorting the kids out from the first episode. And I said, do you want to watch the second episode? She went, yeah. And she sat down and she went, this is amazing.
Oh, great. That's good.
No, but it really is.
Do you know what? He was saying the other night, Guy, and I'd never realised this, that he actually he makes films for himself.
Yeah, now, of course he does.
It makes sense because, you know, if we like it, then everyone else is more or less going to like it, you know.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really think about an audience when he makes something.
Yeah,
just,
and why?
What do I like?
Yeah.
You know, and it's a great way to go about your work, isn't it? Because you're enjoying it.
Yeah. It is phenomenal. There's a guy. The plot, I will tell you the plot. Eddie Horniman, played by Theo James, who was in White Lotus. Did you see White Lotus?
Yeah, no.
So he's in White Lotus. He plays an American. Yeah. I didn't know he was a Brit.
Yeah.
But he is.
He's a wonderful actor, the kid, isn't he?
He's amazing.
Yeah.
If you close your eyes, it's Mark Strong or son of Mark Strong.
Yeah,
honestly.
Right. Yeah.
So Theo James unexpectedly inherits his dad's sizable country estate, 15,000 acres, only to discover it's part of a drug empire. A host of unsavory characters from Britain's criminal underworld want a piece of the operation for various reasons. And it's all about the characters.
It's about manipulation as well, because the drugs are there. They're underneath the house.
Mm.
But it's only because the working class gangster has manipulated the situation.
Yeah.
You know, these are the original gangsters. These people are the aristocrats. They're the original gangsters.
Of course they are.
That's how they got the big properties. That's
it, yeah. And now they are wealthy, but they're not rich.
Yeah.
So they've got all the acquisitions, but they don't all the equity, but they don't have any cash, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
And the drugs trade is the opposite.
Yeah.
It doesn't have, it has obviously, it has its raw material, but it has loads and loads and loads of cash, too much cash for its own good.
Yeah.
Right, so that's how it starts. Now, each character, a bit like I said earlier on in the show, for me, it's like Breaking Bad meets Brassic meets Lock, Stock, and what's wrong with any of that?
Nothing.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one of the things all those shows have in common is that any character in the show, and there is full of characters. The characters are so deep and rich and magnificent for nefarious reasons, brilliant reasons, whatever, could hold their own series. Mm. And it's like the Beatles. They said the Beatles, the reason the Beatles were so good is because you had four band leaders who all agreed to be in the same band.
Yeah.
And I feel like that with the Guy Ritchie movie. Right, who is your character? I saw him last night. He appears in the last 10 minutes of episode 2.
Yeah.
And lands with such gravity, mate. Who is he? What is his
place? Well, he's
place
Bobby Glass, and he's the head of the family.
Yeah.
And
the drugs family.
Yeah, the drug family. But he's in prison. Now, when you get the script... And he's in prison, but he's having a barbecue and he's eating Kobe beef and he's got his own chef. You go, hold on a minute, this is nothing to do with reality, you know? This is coming from the left field. But once you accept that and you buy into it, then you can enjoy it. And for me, turning up the first day on set and it's snow everywhere.
Yeah.
And there was a Guy Ritchie barbecue, which he sells, by the way. Yeah. It's his own company, right, Guy? And it's beautifully done and it's all dressed lovely, but you're in a prison, you know, and you go, okay, all right, that's what that is.
Yeah.
But then you do the dialogue, and the dialogue means everything. And the dialogue changes as you get on set. So you learn pages of dialogue, but as long as you learn it and you know what you're doing...
Yeah.
You can change anything, and it changes for the better.
Yeah.
And so this guy, this Bobby Glass, has a daughter and a son, and the son is not quite up to running the business. He's the muscle. The daughter, who he doesn't want, it's his baby. He'd rather her be a lawyer or a doctor, but she's good at being a gangster.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. So he's not happy with that, but he's very proud of her in a funny way. And they say lines like, you know, well, we don't do the powder. You know, we just do the weed. As if that's a moral question. You know, we're all right, actually. We're the good guys, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what kind of keeps them going. It's putting the food on the table.
Yeah.
And it gets big. And he sees this niche in these aristocrats.
Yes.
And when he does, he manipulates them. They're great manipulators.
Yeah.
You know? And that's Bobby Glass. So he runs everything from inside a prison cell.
Yeah. It's very Noel Coward in The Italian Job, isn't
it? Yeah, except for the accent.
No, I know, but the sort of the play, the shtick.
Yeah, yeah.
The fact that he's got it all going on.
Yeah, all going on around him. He's the centre of his own universe.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And it's so Ritchie-esque, isn't it? You know, he's our Tarantino in a way, isn't he? Guy Ritchie,
absolutely.
I would say. The lady who plays... your character's daughter, who is she? She's amazing.
Yeah.
Who is she?
Kia.
Yeah.
She's, oh, God. She's done a lot of stuff. I'm not really sure what she's done before because, you know, it's all young kids today. They're all coming on. And I'm one of the old boys of the game there. So, you know, wonderful actress. She's a Brazilian Portuguese,
right.
Born in London.
Yeah, yeah.
And carries herself so well. I mean, in the old days, we'd have called her a geezer bird.
Yeah.
But looks absolutely fantastic, you know.
She
we kind of hit the ground running, me and her. You know, the chemistry happened straight away.
It is like you are actually father and daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because I sort of knew what your character was going to be like from the way your daughter was, even though we hadn't seen you, which is sort of what you want. You know, she sort of laid the ground for you. Her character is so still in the middle of all the male ego-driven madness.
It's like a manicure, isn't it? Oh. She's standing there like that, done up with beautiful clothes on.
Wise and smart and sharp. Yeah, yeah. You know, and the whole Patek...
Well, they don't write for women like that, really, do they? You know, I mean, it's quite amazing writing, really, what Guy's done there.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what is it like on the set of a Guy Ritchie TV show? As opposed to me, what is it?
It's like organised mayhem, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the first day you have to get it really lively, that it's going to change. Right. It's not what you thought it was going to be,
right.
You know.
And how is that for you? How are you with
that's all right. It keeps you on your toes, Chris.
Yeah.
And once you get over the initial shock of you've just learned 14 pages of dialogue, right?
Yeah.
And it's gone. And it's now 14 pages of new dialogue. You've got 10 minutes to learn. And once you get over that, and you realise you've done your own work and you're okay with it, you can really enjoy it then because it's fresh.
Yeah.
And it's always changes for the better.
Yeah.
You know, it don't go backwards.
Yeah.
It's not because we're bored with that bit of dialogue. It's because it becomes better. He has a better idea.
Write what you know, and for research, do research and research. And, you know, I know Guy a bit, not as well as you do, but, you know, it's all there, like you say, the barbecue, these pop-up barbecue things that he does and he sells. I remember when he got his first one, he said, oh, Chris, I got Mr. Evans, I've got this new barbecue. You got to get one. You got to come around. You got to see it. And then, obviously, he loves his wine as well, does he? He loves his cigars. Yeah. He loves his guns.
Yeah, and steak. At the moment, it's Kobe beef. He likes a bit of Kobe beef.
Yeah, and he's got an estate, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Was it filmed in Stoke Park?
Yeah, we ran Stoke Poges and ran that way we were, yeah.
Yeah.
That's where the prison was anyway.
Yeah. it's so good, mate. I can't wait to watch episodes 3 to 8.
Yeah.
And as I say, did you watch Breaking Bad?
I saw some of it, yeah. I didn't see it all.
Yeah.
It's funny because when you're working, you know, and I've been lucky enough to be working quite a bit, that you can't just pick a series up.
Mm.
You know, you have to start at the beginning. You know, and there's so many of them.
Yeah.
So you get through the first six or something, and then you say, right, I'll watch the others next week, and then you're off again.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very difficult to keep up with things.
I'm with you all the way, and time is so precious, isn't it? Once you have everything covered.
Well, we've got Giancarlo off of Breaking Bad's in this.
I know.
Gentleman. It's fantastic.
I know.
Brings a little bit of style and class to it, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's a lot of style and class to it. It's so cool. It's so cool, as I say. So it's out today. The Gentleman out today on Netflix. I think it'll go straight to number 1 on Netflix. Can't see why it wouldn't. And I was trying to guess what happens to the main character. Well, the main two characters, the female and the male lead. And I'm thinking that Eddie Horniman, who plays the Duke, the new Duke, first 20 minutes is great. First 20 minutes is actually quite pedestrian and perfunctory because they have to set it up. And nothing after the first 20 minutes is like the first 20 minutes. You just got to stick with that bit because they're going, well, here's where we are. Here's where we're going. You think, well, he's too crazy to believe. You know, but he has to be overtly crazy. This is the elder brother who was supposed to become the Duke. Doesn't become the Duke at the reading of the will. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, I think Theo is going to go all the way down. Eddie Horniman, he's going to go all the way down. He's just going to get into the drugs thing. He's going to become the new king of the drugs. There's a great cliffhanger at the end of every episode. I can't wait to watch it.
Anything can happen to anyone in this show.
Yeah.
You
of
know?
Course.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. You don't know what's going to be around the corner, you know?
Well, you know what happens to Tommy Woo Woo. I've been told about spoilers. Don't worry, I've got the spoiler police outside. I don't know, they're looking in on it. I get it. By the way, it doesn't matter. It's so this is such a punk show. I'm so glad that the UK's got one of these going on. You know, you got Succession, which is fair enough, and you got some other good shows, which is fair enough. But the UK has not done anything like this yet. This is the first one that we've done, thanks to Guy Ritchie and the gang and Ray Winston. Ray, 50 years. What a way to celebrate your 50th year with this show. Give us the headlines. 50 years. First acting job ever.
When? Now?
No, yeah, go on. When was your first acting job ever. When did you first get paid to act?
It was on a kids play for the day, like a place for Britain,
right?
And it was about a school football team with all the boys from Manor Shears,
right?
And so that's the first one. I can't remember what it was called. Okay. But that was the first paid job.
Right.
And another one, there was another one.
Hang on, slow down. Were you an instant hit? Did you get it?
No.
Did it get you? Or?
Yeah, but kind of, I kind of was finding my feet, you know.
Right.
But there was another one where I turned up from college in Reading to do this film called The Perils of Pauline or something.
Right.
And I was sitting there and I was late. My first day at work and I was late. And it was girls playing basketball. And then the whistle went off and all the girls took their tops off. And I thought, this is wonderful, this game, isn't it? This is a good game to be in, you know.
So that was what
it was kind
that?
Of like a soft porn film.
What would that be called?
I think it was called The Perils of Pauline.
All right, Perils of Pauline.
Yeah. I'm not in it because I was late, but I watched it.
I've got here The Sweeney 1976.
Oh, I was, yeah, Loving Arms, that episode's called.
You were Second Youth.
Yes, I was.
And
yeah.
Scum 77.
Yeah, 77. Yeah,
okay, I mean, that was massive, wasn't
it? Yeah, it got banned, though.
Did it?
Yeah, they got banned, and we had to remake it as a feature film 2 years later.
Oh, yeah, of course, because it's in the telly column.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
All right, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I watched the movie. I mean, I remember that as being massive. It was the movie.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I watched it, you know, in period, in 79, when I was, 12, 13 years old.
Mm.
What kind of fuss did that cause? How did that help your career? What was it like to be that famous in such a cool film at that time?
Yeah, first of all, I didn't really know what I was doing when I made the film. It was only that you had Alan Clark as a director, who was like a teacher as well, who took time with me and kind of educated me what film and cinema was all about.
Right.
And, you know, and that kind of, the fame that came with that, because it was such a successful film.
Yeah.
I got a couple of other jobs and then nothing for about 15, 16 years.
Yeah.
It was kind of little things. But in hindsight, it was quite a good thing for me because it kind of brought me back down to earth and I had to learn my trade.
Yeah.
You know, I had to go back and learn.
It's funny because that happens a lot. If films are that successful, you know, and they have that sort of the youth, not only on screen, but the director's younger, the producer's younger, the writers are younger, you know, you can have a massive hit and then it just all goes quiet on the Western Front.
Absolutely.
But I didn't realise it was so long.
Yeah, I worked it out the other day. It must have been because then I really didn't do anything of any, you know...
Note,
until Nil by Mouth.
Really?
And that was, I'd gone back to doing theatre, right, the Royal Court upstairs and the old Red Lion in Islington. And that's kind of like very cinematic kind of theatre, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So while you're doing theatre, you're also learning about being so close to an audience, which is the camera to me, and acting like you would be in the cinema rather than on stage, you know?
Yeah.
And so getting the script from Gary Oldman when I was at the Royal Court and reading the script like I'd never read before. Not that I was that professional at reading scripts, but I never put it down. And that's kind of how you tell.
But there's so that, lean and mean times for over a decade.
But that, I was learning something.
That were you skint then?
Yeah, but you know, you get by.
No, of course you do, but I mean,
but it was
tough.
Kind of learning my trade a bit, you know? And getting that script was like, and that kicked it all off again, you know?
So we had Robin Wright here on Monday.
Yeah, lovely.
And she cited as in her top three films of all time, Sexy Beast.
Yeah,
How was that? Because that was hugely successful as well. Nil by Mouth was successful. Mm. But how was Sexy Beast? How was your success in Sexy Beast compared to Scum?
Yeah.
Because similarly,
They're different kind of films because Nil by Mouth is a kind of a social kind of statement in a way, you know. Where Sexy Beast is a love story.
Yeah,
I think I kind of
a bit more
think,
rock and roll, a bit more punchy.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, working with Jonathan Glazer again was another education because. Yeah, we knew he was a great cinematographer, you know, and the way he shoots stuff, he'd been making commercials that were like cinema, you know, but he never really worked with actors before and he learned very quickly how to deal with actors and how to talk to actors and what actors needed when they were at work. And it was great for me to watch that process that he was going through, you know, from working with Gary was totally different because he understood actors, you know, being a great actor himself, you know. So That every you can take something from everywhere, you know. Sexy Beast for me was one of my favourite jobs.
Yeah.
Purely for the writing. We never changed the word. You know, most films, you'll mess around with them and you'll change it because it doesn't read right.
Who wrote Sexy Beast? Forgive me, I don't
It was know. David Cinto,
right.
and Louis Mellor. Fantastic writing. It was like, it's like modern day Shakespeare.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I looked at it.
Yeah.
And the same was, they wrote 44-inch chest as well, which didn't do as well as Sexy Beast, but the writing in it is second to none.
And a lot of the team here hadn't even heard of Sexy Beast because they're of an age.
Yeah.
They weren't born when Sexy Beast was out.
My God, that makes me feel old.
And I know, well, I have it every
it's what
day.
It is, isn't it?
Right, I have it every single day. Some of the references are, they hadn't even heard of Thelma and Louise.
No.
Yeah, no, understandably so. And then I got them all to watch it. It took me ages to get them to watch it. And they came and they said, it's such a great film. I said, I know, it's such a, but it's not fair. And the same with Sexy Beast. And I haven't even gone to Love, Honour and Obey with them yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
another amazing film.
Yeah, we improvised all the way through.
I know. That's such a great film. Oh God, that's very, very The Gentleman.
Yeah, I guess so. In a way. Yeah, yeah.
And when from being Skin and then getting back into the fold, into the game. Not that you're out of the game, but you know, getting some proper jobs again.
Yeah.
Did you, money-wise, you know, did you think, right, I need to bank some now, I need to sort myself out? How did you get that savvy about, because it's difficult. We've had some really unbelievably successful actors in here celebrating Oscar nominations, and I'm like, you must be so busy. They said the phone hasn't rung for a year.
Yeah, I know, unbelievable.
Yeah, so
it seems the more successful you can be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's that kind of thing of people saying, you know, they just won an Oscar or they won a BAFTA, and then people are frightened to phone them. No, I think they're too busy or they're too expensive.
So did you get any advice?
No, you don't get any advice, really. I'm lucky my agent's a friend as well. We've become like family, you know, in a way. And he guided my career very well. And he's only a young fella.
Right.
I chose to go with a young team who just started up as an agency.
Right.
So I kind of fed off their hunger in a way, you know. And we both grew together.
Yeah.
So we have the same kind of mindset about the things we like and what we want to do. When I wasn't working, you know, you'd find a job. You'd do something. Yeah. You'd find a way of earning a living, whatever it was.
And also not many responsibilities when you
were younger. Well, no, but I did. I had two kids.
So, all right, OK.
So, you know, that's you've got to put food on the table. You've got to pay the rent. So you find ways of doing that. You have to.
Yeah, you know. And it gives you more experience. So hopefully in the future there's more to draw from the well of you know, day to day. Where you are now, how do you feel now? You feel great. You've said that before.
Yeah.
You know, energetically you feel good. Career wise, do you worry about stuff? Does it keep you up at night? Are you in the groove? Is there a plan?
Yeah, I mean, at 67, I should be retiring.
Are you 67?
Yeah,
oh
I,
God.
I should be actually laying on a sunbed somewhere.
You look great. I didn't know you were 67.
Yeah, with me budgie burgers. I should be laying there like that.
Sexy Beast,
you know,
too.
Supping a tequila sunrise or something. But, you know, you have to graft. And in a way, I have stopped a little bit, and then I get bored. And, you know, and something will come along that you read and you go, oh, I'd love to do that.
Right.
You know, and it's not about being famous. I don't care about being famous. It's not.
It's handy down again.
Yeah, it's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's something that gives you a sense of pride when you go to work. And, you know, and we have to earn a living. We have to pay our tax.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. You know. 100%. When you get to being The Gentleman, the new show that's on Netflix from today, it's awesome. I like it. I don't know whether we should like it. I don't know. I loved it. I didn't like it. I loved it. Did you love it?
Yeah.
You've only seen the trailer.
Yeah, it's
you didn't get the code. You didn't get the preview code. Yeah. I got the code. You got the code? Yeah. does Guy call you himself? How does that happen?
In memory serves me right. Yeah, we had a little meet and we had our eyes met across the room.
Where did you meet? Did you meet in his pub?
No, we were kind of on set. He was already making it.
Right.
And, you know, because we had words years ago. You know, we weren't that...
Oh, did you?
Come on,
tell us about that.
No, we had a little fallout. I was going to do Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Right.
And it didn't happen for whatever reason. And I thought he was in the wrong way, went about something. And
right.
He probably thought I was in the wrong.
Yeah. And so you both built up a story that wasn't true.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. Yeah. You know, fisticuffs never came about, thank God. And so over the years, we kind of like snubbed one another and all that. But then, you know, you grow up, Chris.
Of course you do.
You know, and you know, I've been watching his stuff and, you know, begrudgingly liked it. you know, what he was doing and all that. You know,
isn't that you know, great
You don't want to like it, but you like it.
I have
it,
so many versions of that.
I know.
I don't like him, but he's really good.
Yeah, but he's good at what he does, you know. So, and then we had this kind of little meeting. We had a little cuddle and we had a chat about it. And he's a good guy. You know,
of course he is. He's by a good the way, boy, he's so, you know. Such good company.
All
so interesting.
Wasted years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
so cool.
Over though. Like,
I love the fact that that's so. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, but he's worked with some wonderful people.
Of course
as
he
well,
has.
You know,
as have you.
Yeah.
Are the highlights 50 years on, or is it all? Is it you know? The ride is the ride. You know, it's all a journey.
No, this is like a new start. It's like reinventing yourself
okay.
again, and you have to do that. During your career, you know, something else gives you, you come to a moment in time, I'm sure you've had it, right, where you go, I've had enough of this game, you know, because you're doing crap and it's rubbish and you're going, and it looks rubbish and you're rubbish in it and you go, you know what, I'm finished.
How did this happen?
Me done.
How did I
no,
get
yeah,
here?
Yeah, well, what am I doing here, you know, and then all of a sudden you'll say, that's me done, I'm going to do something else. Mm. I don't know what, I'm going to do something else. And then something comes through the post and you go, oh, I wouldn't mind doing that. And it kind of reinvents you and it gives you that buzz again, you know?
It's a different flame, though, isn't it, inside?
Yeah.
It's not a flame of...
I think you need it every now and
it's
then.
It's not desire,
like
it's
that.
Need. There's that great phrase, you know, don't feed your wants, meet your needs.
Yeah, it's like having too many goals, you know? It's like having, you know, what do you see for the future? I don't know. I don't want to know.
Right.
You know, it's... I think if you're looking for something, you search for it too much, you never get it. You know, just go with the flow.
Yeah.
And when something comes out of left field and you have, you made no plans.
What's great about yours and Guy's history that you've just illuminated me to is that now I'm thinking, okay, so you appear on set, you look at each other in the eye, he's there, he's already making this show.
Yeah.
And you've had this bit of befores, there's been no afters, but you've had the befores.
Yeah.
And so you sort of have a very tacit point to prove, you know, look what you could have won.
Yeah.
And he's going, but look what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And therefore, the end product is going to be all the better for it because you've both got a very quiet point to prove, haven't
right.
you? And
probably.
When that comes to... that's cool.
No, probably right. That's all right. But it kind of starts me up again. I think it's more in my favour.
I'm excited. I've got goosebumps.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, he's up and running. He's doing what he's doing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and to say that I probably need it more than he does, I don't know, that's probably true. But it just gives me another little bit of a... I don't know, it starts me off again.
Yeah, yeah.
And it gives me that tingle again, you know.
I got the tingle just talking about
and doing,
it.
And you know, there's nothing better than doing something good. It turns out great as well, you know.
It is great. What did you learn anything from working with Guy? Did you?
Yeah, a different way of working.
Come on.
Certainly a different way of working. As I said, when you turn up and the script changes.
Yeah, yeah.
But what you learn also is his mind never stops.
Yeah.
It's bang,
he's
bang,
so
bang.
Interested.
It's ideas. And they're kind of like not the ideas that I'd have.
Yeah.
They're different ideas, and you take that on board, and it's fine.
It.
And when you take it on board, you run with it; it works.
Any advice for anybody listening generally in life at the age of 67?
Yeah, get on with it.
Get on with it.
I like that. Get on with it.
Get on with it. Right, we've got to let you go because you're going to see Alan Brazil now.
I've done Brazil.
You've done Brazil.
We've done Brazil.
Is he sent you nuts, Brazil?
No, he tried to get me out on the booze again, and I went, "No, leave me right away." No, stop it.
What's wrong with him?
Stop it.
He's nicking our acts.
He's actually looking very good, you know.
He's
better than the last time I saw him. Anyway,
he's warming up for Cheltenham.
I think he was being arrested last time I saw him.
He said to me yesterday. We met in the lift yesterday, and he said for the first time ever in his career. He's nervous about going to Cheltenham next week.
Really?
He says, I'm not saying...
He goes with Paul Harris.
I'm not saying I'm done.
They all go together, the boys, yeah.
Well, no,
it's
he
great.
Does his show from there.
Yeah, I know, but they're all there. All the boys are there, so it's like a party.
So he'll do his show from there in the morning. Mm. Then he'll have a little bit of a decompression, shall we say, after the programme. And then he does all the corporates in the afternoon.
Wow.
So he's full on, man.
Yeah. He's a grafter, isn't he?
He is a grafter. Yeah. And he's very, very good. Ray, so nice to see you.
Lovely to see you too.
You are one of my favourite people.
We go back.
We go back now, thank God, we're still going forwards.
We're going forwards. Is life left in this old dog?
All right, Ray. It's a great show, everyone. I think it's going to be number one on Netflix for a long time to come. I think the world's going to be talking about it. Any call for you to go to North America to talk about this show?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
I think that's going to happen.
No.
So it's out worldwide on Netflix today. It's called The Gentleman, and we've been talking to the brilliant Ray Winston. Control room round of applause for Ray Winston.
Woo!
Cheers, Ray.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Ray! Get on with it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Love the 80s? Then you'll love Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Over on Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
He's the award-winning Ted Lasso star we all adore and kind of wish was our uncle. Which is lucky because fresh from playing Uncle Quentin in The Famous Five, he's popping up as Uncle Vanya in Uncle Vanya at the Orange Tree Theatre in Richmond. So please join us as we advance to a dance with James Lance.
James Lance, and why is he always in such a good mood? Well, because he's a professional gambler.
Turns out.
And he's really good at it. Do you want to speak to the conversation we've just been having off air?
Yeah, why not? I was just saying that I don't gamble at all. I've never gambled. And then I suddenly realised that my entire life is a gamble because I'm an actor and I never know where my next paycheck is going to come from.
And, you know, with that sort of relentless, you know, having to keep knocking on doors, the more doors you knock on, the more likely one is to open. Every no gets you closer to the next yes. Comes this fearlessness of being skinned. I was just talking to Ray Winston about it. You know, my ex-wife is a very successful actress, but you don't know where your next job's coming from, but she never worries about it.
Yeah, I'm the same.
You're all crazy.
We're all completely nuts, aren't we? Yeah.
Well, also, you know the value of things as opposed to the price or the cost of things. I suppose that's different.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. I'm quite a simple bloke, really. As long as I've got some food, I'm warm.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I'm reasonably happy.
And because you love so much what you do, and it gives you such a kick, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And
it's not for free. It's the opposite. You actually, hopefully, now and again, get paid for doing something that gives you such a high.
Yeah, 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 it does.
The last time we talked, we thought we were both about to get on a plane to go to New York.
Yes.
One of us didn't, one of us didn't.
That's right. You didn't make it, did you?
I didn't go. What were we going to and how was it?
We were going to New York City to do a Q&A for the SAG Awards, wasn't it, I believe?
It was a warm-up for the SAG Awards.
Yes, yeah. Because the cast of Ted Lasso had been nominated for Best Ensemble.
Yeah.
And you were going to do the mediating.
The
there.
Mediating.
Yes.
Which is an Americanism for hosting a Q&A, basically.
Yeah, yeah. But you didn't go, but I did.
Yeah, what was it like?
It was missing one thing.
Oh,
it was missing one thing.
What might that have been, James?
It was Chris Evans. It was really good. You were missed, but we had a good time.
How did it manifest? Were you all sitting on stage?
Pretty much the whole cast all sitting on a stage. In a theatre with a big audience and you know, doing a bit of a deep dive on the show. And
so it's an industry audience?
I think so. Mainly.
Right.
Mainly,
so
I believe
writers,
so.
Writers, other actors, producers.
Yeah.
And one of the fearful things, this is maybe why I didn't get on the plane, is how do you, because it was only an hour, I think, something like that. How do you get to everybody in that hour when you could just talk to a couple of you and that would be compelling enough? What is that like? Because sometimes you would sit on stage and if you're not Jason or Brett,
yes,
or whomever, Hannah. Or indeed yourself, you might not get a look in.
You might not get
what
a look
in. What is it like when you do those massive Q&As? Can there be too many people on stage?
I think there probably can be a few too many people on stage, actually.
How much sort of mic time did you get?
Well, let me tell you this. I actually did your job for a Q&A for Ted Lasso, sort of as slightly as Trent Crim. So I was interviewing them for one of these awards things.
Which is funny.
Which was absolutely terrifying.
As Trent?
Kind of as Trent. Well, actually, I was asked to do it as Trent. And then Jason said to me about half an hour before, said, Are you sure you want to do this as Trent? When I prepared it
half
as Trent.
Half an hour before. Yeah. Oh, thanks
and
for
I was
that,
like,
Jason.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a weird mashup of Trent and me. And then, but I had to sort of, you know, get everybody talking. And what happened to me when I was talking to them all was I looked down at my notes and I knew it was an hour long. And I realised that I'd absolutely run out of all my questions and I still had half an hour to go.
Oh, my gosh.
It was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. But luckily, the flow got going and it all started
That's
to
so funny. Well, I've run out of questions now. Vassas, over to you.
Yeah. No, I haven't got any.
I know exactly how you feel. Right, Uncle Vanya, control room, please. Big enough of Uncle Vanya. Yeah!
Uncle Vanya!
Right.
Uncle Vanya!
Okay, right, yeah, it's a Chekhov play. Here we have our sort of Russian correspondent representative, Vassas, because he claims to have lived there for a bit and toured with a Russian acting troupe. Over to you, apparently.
Yeah, I actually did. So there's Uncle Vanya, Dyadya Vanya, and there's Vishnyovy Sad, the Cherry Orchard, which are the two kind of big grand Chekhov plays, and I studied them at university. Actually, I did. When I was a student in Russia for a bit, I acted in the Cherry Orchard. I mean, terribly. Amazing. I overacted dramatically. But they sort of carried me along with them. It was great. I was looking, because I knew you were coming in, Uncle Vanya at my local theatre, very excited. Can you tell?
Wonderful.
And I got out my old, and I'm so pleased I kept it. I got out my old copy of Dyadya Vanya, Uncle Vanya, from those university days at Exeter, and I was reading my sort of my little notes on the scripts and stuff, and I'd forgotten what a good play Uncle Vanya is, and also how relevant it is now.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, first of all, please can I see that copy, because I would love to look.
I will bring it to you at the Orange Tree Theatre in Richmond when I come and see it with my wife.
Opening night tonight.
It's opening night.
Opening night tonight, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, what can I say? I mean, you already know, but those of you who don't know, this play, it is one of the great masterpieces. It's a comedy, it's a tragedy, it's a tragicomedy, it's an issues play, it's a love story. It's kind of got everything in it, and you know, it was written over 100 years ago, and some of the thoughts in it are so current. It's as if it's been written today.
Like what, for example?
Well, in terms of Chekhov's want to preserve nature and what us human beings are doing to the world and how we need to look after the trees, that is literally like it could be written today. It's
all right, breaking news today about the 1.5 degrees, Rachel.
So we have hit 1.77 degrees above pre-industrial average temperatures for February across the world. And once we go above the 1.5, that's when we expect to see long-term climate change.
Is that
impact.
The point of no return?
Yeah, so we're temporarily above the... We've gone up to 1.77. It should come back down again.
All right, so back to the theatre.
You know, peeking over the parapets.
Yeah.
Well,
so
he's
check
talking
off
about,
you a thing or two then.
Yeah, he talks about the climate in that play when people weren't talking about it at that time. It's amazing.
All right. What did you like about the play, Vassos?
Oh, I mean, that speech at the end, Sonia, she says, "You're crying, Uncle Vanya, you're crying." And the audience at the Orange Tree Theatre right on top of you, so you're going to have to cry. How are you at crying?
Yeah, well, I'm all right at it, actually. I'm all right at crying. Like just the one eye.
Do you have a better side, don't you, as an actor? Do you have a better eye to cry in?
Yeah, the third eye. We were in tears last night. It was with lovely Madeline Gray, who plays Sonia. And she's just so fantastic. And as you know, she does this beautiful speech at the end, pretty much to Uncle Vanya, who I'm playing. And we were in bits.
So if you engage in listening to that speech, because they do say, and I, it's like financial planning for children. And, you know, why don't they do more of it? What's the other thing? Breathing at night for kids, mouth breathing, nose breathing, kindness. They don't teach you, as when you're in your school play, they don't teach you. It's not about remembering your lines, which you have to do, but it's about listening to the other person as opposed to waiting to say your next thing. And as Uncle Vanya, I'm thinking, how does he cry every night? But if you're engaged and committed to Uncle Vanya and you're listening to his niece, is it his niece?
Yes, that's right.
And she is genuinely moving him, then you would cry.
Yeah, you're just in pieces. Yeah, absolutely.
Seems quite easy then.
Yeah, I think it might be, actually.
No, I'm joking, Joe.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah. Joking. No, I think you could be right. Yeah, it's like kind of jumping into a magic spell every night. It really is extraordinary.
You seem very chill, considering tonight's opening night.
Wait, what? Is it tonight?
Yeah.
What? No. What else can you do?
Well, no, you could worry. You could worry and not sleep.
Oh, yeah, there's that too, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, no.
It's Matthew McConaughey, isn't it? Matthew McConaughey talking to Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
And he says, my friend Woody says about, you know, I say I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. And my friend Woody looks at me and I say to him, what do you do when you're worried about something? And he says, I forget about it. It's good advice, isn't it?
It's really good advice. I remember a dear old mate of mine called Peter Cutler at school once said to me, I used to worry a lot, and he said, Jim, worry not and you'll not worry.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
You seem quite worryless as a person. You seem to have a lightness about you. Is that right or not?
I think I'll go with that, yeah. I think so. I do trust that it's all happening as it's meant to, even if it feels a bit, you know, bumpy now and again.
No, that is so cool. I mean, Krishnamurti said, didn't he? He said, you know, his secret to being happy. I don't think he framed it as being happy. It was more profound than that. But he said his secret to being however he was, he said, I don't mind what happens.
I don't mind what happens next.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah. Your secret is that, yeah.
And it's not that he doesn't care, which is different. It's just, there's no point in minding. It's a waste of energy to mind what happens.
That's right. I was thinking about my approach. You know, when I heard that I was going to play Uncle Vanya with Trevor Nunn, Sir Trevor Nunn directing.
Is he directing?
Yeah, he's directing.
So
yeah, absolutely.
He's pretty cool.
He's a pretty amazing man. And it's sort of one of those huge moments. You think, crikey, how's that gonna pan out? But there's this poem that I think perfectly you know, sort of articulates how I felt about it, and it's by Christopher Logue, and it's called Come to the Edge. And it goes like this: come to the edge, we might fall. Come to the edge, it's too high. Come to the edge, and they came, and he pushed, and they flew.
I felt like I was flying then, right at the end in my tummy.
It's all right, that, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, I love that. Trevor Nunn used to come in our pub all the time.
Did he?
Yeah, because he used to live around the corner. I think he still lives there. He's got a house on a hill. Do you know him personally?
Well, only from this rehearsal process.
Will you see him again?
On this. I'll see him tonight.
Ask him, does he still live in the house on the hill?
I will.
With a 70-mile view.
Okay, that's very specific.
Yeah, it is very specific. I don't know why, but it's a 70-mile view. You can see, on a good day, you can see the coast. Even it's not particularly, I mean, it's landlocked.
Is it a castle?
What?
Is it a castle?
No, it's not. It's a fairly modest cottage. But because he used to be married to actress?
Imogen Stubbs.
Because they were together and they were around the corner from where we lived. Well, all right, he's a legend.
He's a legend.
What's it like to be directed by him? What does he bring to things that other people haven't so far?
Well, he's directed all 37 of the Shakespeare plays.
Well, there you go.
For one thing.
All right, that's just showing off, but okay.
You know what I mean? Shakespeare's his religion.
Yep.
He talks a lot about antithesis, which he says that Shakespeare does about 50% of every line on the page is all about antithesis, you know. And so I think, speaking personally, I'm learning loads from him in terms of text and how he breaks down the text. It's quite extraordinary.
Did you say to any of your pals in the business, I'm Trevor Nunning soon, and they went, is there anything I need to know?
I did, actually. I spoke to Hannah Waddingham because he directed her in A Little Night Music.
Right.
And she just said to me, he's magic, Jim. He's magic.
Oh, God, that's all you need to know, isn't it?
That's all you need to know, isn't it?
So he's not the magician, he's the magic.
Yeah.
He's probably the magician and the magic. Wow.
So, you know, that was pretty...
And is he Willy Wonka-ish? Is he more under the radar? Is he more sort of Jedi?
I love the idea of him, Willy. I love the idea of someone being Willy Wonka-ish.
Well, you're either Willy Wonka, or you're like, come on, guys, let's go, you know, spit spat. Or you're Jedi, you're, I help you act, I will.
I've got a whole mishmash of Yoda and Willy Wonka. He might be a bit of a mix of all of those. He might be Willy Yoda.
He reminds me of Phil Redmond.
Oh, I've never met Phil Redmond, as in Grange Hill.
Yeah, because they look similar.
Oh, right.
I used to get mixed up between the sort of Northwestern playwrights. There's Willie Russell, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And who was the other really famous Scouse
Alan Bleasdale?
Bleasdale. I just get mixed up with all of them all the time. Then there's Colin Welland.
Right, yeah.
He's great, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So what will you do today then, between now, between being kind enough to come on this idiotic show of ours, to plug orangetreetheatre.co.uk's amazing production of Uncle Vanya, opening night tonight, sold out. Forget, you can't get tickets tonight. How long's it run, by
Six
the way?
Weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
They they are releasing some tickets every day, though, just
catch
so
it while
you
know, you can.
It's possible.
Catch it when you can, catch it while you can.
Yeah.
Load of work for 6 weeks. That always suggests to me that it may be going somewhere else for a bit longer.
Who knows?
What do you think?
I have no idea. I
hopes and dreams. Hopes and dreams.
It might be nice, yeah.
Where? About West End or Broadway?
Yeah,
or...
yeah, either of those could be quite fun.
Okay. And when a play's been done so many times before,
yeah.
Tell me about that.
That's you mean as in how do you?
Well, it's been done so many times before, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Uncle Vanya's been done. Even you did it. Once.
Yeah, Vassos has done it.
You did it.
You might do it again.
I did the Cherry Orchard, but yeah, Chekhov is I mean, it's not an unpopular play, Uncle Vanya.
That's right. I mean, it's I slightly how can I put it? when I you know, the idea of playing Uncle Vanya, first of all, I thought, oh my God, who's played Uncle Vanya
first
before?
Time you cross your arms on interview.
Hold on.
Is so interesting.
Yeah, it's true.
Right, I'm going to unask the question.
No.
Forget
no,
it.
No,
you, you don't need this on your opening night
it's
morning.
It's all right. It's all right. I know a lot of amazing people have played this role, and I just thought, well.
They nailed it. Has anybody messed it up? Do you know?
Not yet. But there's always tonight.
And did your playing of an uncle in The Famous Five help you get Uncle Vanya? Did the uncles have anything in common?
Yeah, they're like, oh, he can play an uncle. He'll do. Yeah.
A funcle. Is there a third uncle that you could play?
There might be. There might
uncle
be something.
Pesca?
Uncle there you go. It's coming, isn't it? It's only a matter of time.
Are there uncle roles?
I need
to
know.
The man from Uncle?
Yes.
I need to know about this look because it's very strong.
Oh, thanks.
Talk us through it, top to toe.
You should have been in last time he came in.
Wow. Oh,
what did I miss?
He killed last time.
Thank you very much. This is a jumpsuit, a velvet.
Velour. Velour.
Yeah, velour. Yeah, yeah, one piece.
This is very sort of, I'm in a play tonight kind of
vibe. This is theatre.
This is you in bed on the move.
That's right. I sort of think of, you know, like with boxers before they go in the ring, they've got their
dressing gown.
Yeah. This is my version of
hoping
that.
Hoping not to get knocked out.
Yeah, ideally not. Yeah.
Floored on the canvas.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I just had a look at the website. Yeah. We crashed it.
Good.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, you've smashed it, which means that we'll crash it.
Wow, what does that mean? Hold on, website, what crash?
We've crashed the website.
Orangetreetheatre.co.uk.
So many people are now going on the website.
No.
To buy. Yeah, of course.
You guys.
That's what happens when you come on the show.
Oh, bless
That's
your
what
hearts.
Happens when you come on the show.
Come on the show.
That's amazing.
Uncle Vanya is on the show when we've crashed the website.
Wow, thank you for crashing the website.
How long does the play last?
It's a couple of hours.
Is there an interval?
There is an interval. Hmm. Yeah, so it's a decent size.
What do you do during the interval?
I have a cup of tea.
Tea?
Yeah. I have a cup of
tea. Do you have a cup of tea and a saucer of reflection?
A saucer, yeah. I have a cup of tea and I also have a jelly tot.
One?
Or two. No, I have a few. I have a few.
We talked about jelly tots the other day, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, why were we talking about jelly tots?
They were the nation's favourite sweet.
Oh, they voted the nation's favourite.
Well, jelly babies are the nation's favourite sweet. Mm. Okay.
Sorry, jelly babies, not jelly tot.
Okay.
You have a jelly tot?
I have a few.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I have a few.
Do you ever make the jelly tot planet?
No, what's that?
You squeeze them all together and put them all in.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know it was called the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, my friend John Gordon Sinclair. Do you know him from Gregory's
Girls?
Yeah, amazing man. He sent me a whole box of jelly tots this week because when we did Jeeves and Worcester, we used to have one each.
That's what friends are for.
I know.
Keep totting, keep jellying. Oh, wow. James, anything else? Come on.
In what way?
Anything. I mean, okay. We've got a minute left. What else? Come on.
What else can I tell? What can I tell you? What can we talk
nothing.
About?
Just say nothing or something, or I need to go shopping.
The Salt Path, maybe?
The Salt Path,
oh,
yes.
Oh, the Salt Path. When's that happening?
The Salt Path, the movie adaptation from the book, is coming out sometime soon, I think.
So you can come back
spring.
On the show?
I'd love to.
Have you filmed it all?
Yeah, we filmed it all.
And on the proper pathways?
On the coast.
Give us the book in a minute. Give us a synopsis of the book, because it's my favourite book of the year.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I loved it. Okay. I bought it for loads of my friends for Christmas.
Oh, wow. Well, those of you who don't know the story, it's about a couple who he does a business deal with his best mate, and that goes wrong, and it means that it bankrupts them all completely. So this couple lose
true story.
They lose their family home. They lose everything. And the same week, he gets diagnosed with a sort of a terminal illness. And so they're now homeless. Everything's it's not good. It's not looking good. But she reads this book that talks about really wonderful walks, and one of which is called the Salt Path, which is down on the coast, down sort of Devon to Cornwall, isn't it, down there?
Yeah.
And they decide to just go for a walk and sleep under the stars. And the story is about their journey down there on the coast. And the interesting little twist to this tale is that she kept a journal the whole way along. And then their daughter said, "What's this, Mum?" She said, "Oh, that's my journal thing." She read it. She said, "You need to get this published." And then it gets published. It turned into a book, which is a bestseller, and now they can buy a home and everything's good. He's also still well.
What a story.
And the other thing that's quite interesting is that apparently they don't really want to live in a home, in an actual house. They like living out and walking around.
Yeah, because there was a follow-up book.
That's right.
And so they were in a house because they can afford the house because the Salt Path did so well. Yeah. But then kind of his illness came back.
That's right.
And it was like nature literally cured an incurable illness. So they thought, exactly. What are we doing in a house?
So has it gone away again?
And then it went away again when they went back outside.
Yeah.
Well, they go for lots of lovely walks and they're doing all right. They're doing well.
Because there's a thing, isn't there? And it's recognised now. It's called spontaneous remission.
Right.
And there's no medical explanation of it available. They've looked into it, but it does happen, spontaneous remission. And so, you know, when everything is lost, keep hope alive, because you never know.
Absolutely. A home is where the heart is as
home
well,
is
isn't
where
it? You know?
Put yourself in the right position.
And it's that film starring Gillian Anderson as well, who's just absolutely extraordinary. Which
The film?
For the Salt Path.
Oh, right. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. James, thank you. And thank you for my gift.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
He sent me the greatest gift that I've... One of the greatest gifts I've ever received in my life. Top five.
Oh, that's awesome. That question. Well,
Should we say what it...
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Shall we or not?
Yeah, I think so. Well, could do.
So, Ted Lasso, you know the believe sign in the changing room?
Mm-hmm.
Sent me the sign.
That's amazing.
He stole it from the set just for me.
Thank you.
It's the only one.
Absolutely, it's the one.
and on the subject of gifts.
By the way, it's much bigger than I thought it was going to be.
It's quite a piece.
It's
where have you put it?
That's the actual one.
Where have you put it?
It's actually still waiting to be hung. I've just had it framed. It just came up from the framers. And I don't know where to put it. And I'm like, but I'm not rushing it because I care about it so much. Mm. It's currently on the worktop. It's just laying on the worktop in the kitchen. And I look at it. It's there every day, every morning when I get up. It's the first thing I see. Well, one of the first things I see, I saw it this morning. Give it a little touch.
Aww.
You know, on the way down, on the way out. I'll touch it again when I get home tonight. I don't know where I'm going to put it. And I might actually just leave it where it is. I don't know. But I don't want it to be somewhere where... I'd like it to be above the door because the Liverpool players touch the...
This is Anfield.
The Liver Birds, this is Anfield, aren't they, before they go onto the pitch?
Yeah.
Do you do that backstage, by the way?
I ought to, but I don't. I don't, actually. Right. I don't have one backstage.
Who does that? Somebody very famous does that. Australian actor.
Oh, Russell Crowe.
No.
Guy...
Greatest Showman.
Oh, Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman, whenever he's playing in the theatre...
Yeah.
Wherever the steps are going onto the stage, if there usually is a sort of brick entrance, isn't there? He taps the entrance and it just reminds him to be the best he can because people have turned out for him. They've made engagements. They've paid their babysitters. It could be their anniversary. They may have had some really bad news. This might be the best thing that they've got in their lives to look forward to. And he just reminds, and he goes on stage and he gives it all the beans.
I love that. Do you know, I'm going to touch the entrance when I go in tonight just because of that. The other night there was a lady in the front row and she was saying, "Bravo, bravo," which was very nice. And I happened to bump into her outside the theatre and it turns out she was Russian. And as you know, Chekhov's Russian. And she said, "This was my Chekhov," as in the show tonight. And she said, "It was ointment for my soul."
Oh, nice.
That was so
very Russian
lovely.
As well.
Nice.
All right. Ointment for my soul.
James, you are always welcome.
Thank you so much. It's so lovely
James
to
Lance,
be
everyone.
Here.
James Lance, everyone. Come on, let's hear it, shall we? James Lance, controller, round of applause. Uncle Vanya, Warren Street, Canada, UK. Doesn't get any better, and if it does, we don't want it.
Love music, love interviews with lovely musicians. Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
It won't be like this forever, so just enjoy it while it's here. It's a really wonderful thing.
And James Bay.
It's about me, it's about my relationship with Lucy. It sums up so much of what went into writing this whole album. We're all works in progress. I still don't necessarily know who I am.
And Depeche Mode's Dave Gahan remembering the late, great Andy Fletcher.
I'll be honest with you, the first thought that came in my head was, I wish I'd been a bit kinder.
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.